All right, so I know you're all making New Year's resolutions. Maybe you've made some progress. Maybe it's 6 days in. Maybe you've already given up. There's one that I know I should make every year, and I don't because, let's be honest, it's unrealistic for me, and that's to become a morning person, right? I'm never going to be that. And I understand that Ben Franklin said, you know, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. But I have never been early to bed nor early to rise. And so I'm somewhere in between a night owl and a morning sloth. And I don't know what the technical term for that is, like a slothful owl, restful sloth. I'm not really sure. And I've tried everything. I mean, when I was a kid, my mom used to come in and wake me up with this nursery rhyme. It goes something like this. Good morning to you. You live in a zoo. You smell like a monkey, and you look like one, too. It's a true story. I find myself now unconsciously singing it to Zora, and I'm not entirely sure what the purpose of that nursery rhyme is. Maybe you have some wacky ones that you grew up singing, too. I've tried other things as an adult, maybe something a little bit more peaceful, like an alarm clock. You know, they have those alarm clocks that play different sounds rather than, like, buzzing at you. I had one once that made sounds like waves on the ocean, right, which just made me feel like a beached whale in the morning. So I gave that up. So I don't know. I'm trying, but it's not for me waking up that early. But our passage for today, I bring all this up because Isaiah is giving a wake-up call of sorts to Israel. Arise, shine, or as my mom would say, rise and shine. Right? And these words are important not because Israel as a nation is collectively in danger of missing breakfast, but because the metaphor of this story, they exist in this dark night of the soul. They've been experiencing an evening of despair, and Isaiah's words, they're like breaking news. You know, we interrupt this program for a message from God. A new day of hope is about to dawn. See, in the story of the Bible, where we are, that the nation of Israel had been defeated and conquered by the Babylonian Empire. And a tactic of that empire to maintain control was to haul off a majority of the Jewish people out to the far reaches of the Middle East. For over a generation, the Jewish people had lived in exile, forced to watch as rival nations fought for control over their ancestral homes, over the places that they grew up. And when the Persian king Cyrus finally released the Jewish people from captivity, their return home did not go smoothly, and certainly not as easily as they had hoped. Now, maybe you experienced something like this if you went home for the holidays, right? A lot of times when we dream about going back to our hometown, we can envision ourselves going back to the street where we grew up. We're going to say hello to those neighbors that have lived next door for ages and ages. Maybe you're going to drive the kids by the Little League field that you played and tell them about that home run that you hit in the final game of the series and won. Same story you've been telling them for years now. You go eat at your favorite restaurant, order your favorite thing on the menu. But every time you go home, it's never the same, right? And you go back and you find out from your parents that the neighbors that you knew you used to go to at their house after school, they've moved away. Nobody really knows the new neighbors. They seem nice, though. You drive past the Little League field and it's not really as big or as impressive as you remember. And the kids are like, you hit the ball over that fence? That's not too hard. favorite restaurant closed down a few years ago. There's now a Taco Bell there. As much as we want to recapture that nostalgia, those moments that formed us, we can't ever go back. And on a much deeper and painful level, this is the experience of the Jewish people when they return home. It's not the same anymore. Things have changed. And to make matters worse, the efforts to rebuild the Holy Temple, that symbol of God's presence among the people, it gets stalled in the midst of partisan strife and economic downturn. There's fights over who controls the land, who controls the future, the people returning from exile. It felt more like a trickle than a mighty stream. And so grave doubts begin to form like dark clouds over the minds of the people about God's power and faithfulness. They begin to wonder, is God actually going to deliver us from sorrow and grief like we were promised? More than just returning back to our physical homes, we are seeking wholeness. Can we ever be whole again? And I don't know about you, but given a congregation of our size, you may be asking similar questions today, even as we begin a new year filled with optimism and hope for a better one. 2018 may not have been your favorite year. You may be resonating more with where the Jewish people are in our story from Isaiah than the magic and wonder of the Magi in Matthew. Have you lost someone this past year? Have you lost a job, or you still haven't found one, and that sense is overwhelming? Maybe you're caring for a loved one, and that responsibility is a heavy, heavy weight, as much as you love them dearly. And even if last year was a great year for you, right? And you're beginning and you're saying, Austin, I sympathize with folks like that, but that's not where I am. I accomplished something amazing at work or at home. I think there's so many times when we read the newspaper, we see all the uncertainty in the world around us, in politics and the economy. If you've got some joy, you almost feel like we got to hunker down and take care of this, right? It's like a delicate crystal ball, and I am walking on hot coals, trying not to drop it. Wherever you are today, this is a story for you in which Isaiah announces that rescue is coming, that hope is on its way, that you don't have to go through this alone, that our despair, that the darkness that surrounds us does not get to define our lives. This is what an epiphany is. Epiphany is a word from the Greek. It means a sudden appearance or revelation of God. We use epiphany when God unexpectedly shows up in our lives to do something surprising. In the Gospels, it is that the God of heaven would step out of heaven and into history, that God would take on human flesh, that God would love us so much, that God would refuse to sit on the sidelines of human life and despair and just watch it unfold, that Jesus said, I've got to do something, and came into the world. In Isaiah, it's a story of God saying, I will refuse to watch the heartache and sorrow of my people continue. I will shine upon them. And what we miss here, but what's so powerful in Isaiah's words, is that arise and shine here, those two words that begin this passage, this breaking news, for those of you who are lovers of grammar, these verbs are in the imperative form. That means they're commands, they're instructions. Rise and shine. We're not passively living our lives, hoping that one day things will get better. That maybe, if we're lucky, the God who created the universe might actually show up. If that were the case, the images here would be more about being moths and find the right flame and circle around it. This is a story of action. First, of God's action. Of God working in our lives to bring healing and hope. Now, it would be irresponsible of me to tell you, and certainly not true of the entire Bible, to say that every time that God brings healing and hope to our lives, it's instantaneous and happens in a single moment. Because that's not the case. That's not how we experience it in the story of the Bible. That's not how we experience it in our lives. Sometimes. More often than not, God's healing and graces, they work over time. Sometimes they come in brief moments. Sometimes they're words spoken by a friend, a healing presence who sits with us. Sometimes it's like a seed that's planted that every day gets a little bit of water until it blooms into something new. And so whatever stage you are in your journey towards healing and hope, the words for you to know today is that God's light is shining upon you. That whether you are at that moment where you're saying, God, Austin, I have maybe like a seed of hope that things might get better, but that's about all I have. That's okay. That's why there are people in the pews to your right and to your left. We journey through this together. Maybe you're saying something new is being birthed, and I don't know what it is, but I'm hopeful that this year is going to be better. That's exciting. And if you're riding high in the saddle, as I would say in my hometown, fear not. The gods are not envious of you. You're not one step away from God taking that happiness because your job is to be as miserable as possible. The goal of human life is to be joyful and fulfilled. God is hoping and bringing and working for you to experience new joy. And our task today is to open our hearts enough to receive that promise from God. To do our best in ourselves or perhaps through the strength of this community to believe in that hope. And to trust that the God who rose from the dead can raise new life for us as well. That God is good and caring and compassionate, who is concerned for people and works for our good. So this week, we start off with a story about fresh starts. And so I want you to take some time this week to think about what that start needs to look like for you. For some of you, maybe it's thinking about where do I need God's light to shine in my heart this year? Where am I asking God for healing and hope, for comfort and peace? Some of you, the question needs to be turned a little bit. Maybe you're allowing some darkness to fester a little bit in your life. There's some areas of resentment. There's some places, some relationships, some habits, some negative energy that it's time to let go of. What are those things for you? But also, where's the hope? Where do you see the light? What are opportunities that lie ahead of you, that excite you? What are possibilities that are there? Or simply, where are the relationships that are nurturing you right now? Where's that candle, that spark of hope that you see that you'd like to nurture into a larger flame? The candle of hope for Isaiah is never extinguished. The light shines and the darkness does not overcome it. That each of us can receive God's light. But more importantly here, Isaiah teaches us we can be God's light. That we can be people who have such profound experiences of God's presence and power in our lives that we can go forth and we can share that light with others. The light of God's hope is for you, but not just for you. So as you make those resolutions, as you think about the ways in which you want God's hope to become real for you, may you also consider how that might shape you into the kind of person who follows Jesus' way of peace and light for others. This is the meaning for us to go from here to rise and shine. Amen.